You base your plans on the Word of God, on the anointing of God, and on the Word of His blessing of God. You'll be right 95% of the time, and God can correct you on the 5% that you missed.
God's desire is to have a family that is totally dependent on Him. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he reveals the heart of God and shows us how much He loves and cares for us. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
John 20, 21, Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." Then Acts 3, 25 and 26, the Apostle Peter said in a message that he preached, he said, "You are the children of the prophets and the covenant spoken to our father Abraham, that in you shall all nations be blessed." Isn't that the blessing of Abraham? Yes. "And God sent Jesus to bless you." Well, now, didn't Jesus Himself say, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father"? When He went to His Father, He took His place as the high priest of the blessing of Adam. That's the reason He's called the last Adam. We don't need another one, because the blessing is in good hands. Hallelujah. But then He said, "Greater works than these shall you do." Well, I'm not all that bent out of shape one way or the other on the greater works. Bring them on. Praise God. But the body of Christ in the fourth chapter of Ephesians is supposed to grow up into Him in all things, to the fullness of the stature of His anointing. It uses the word Christ, but translate it, and you'll find out we should be walking in the fullness of His anointing, because that included everything. Now, where does salvation come in? Where does healing come in? Where does the baptism of the Holy Ghost come in? Where does all the gifts of the Spirit come in? Where does all of that come in? That comes in the blessing of Abraham that has come on the nations for restoration. That is our equipment with which to bless. God told Abraham, "You come follow me to a place where you don't know about." Now, somebody's talking to him, he can't see. "You come follow me, leave your kinfolks behind, and you come follow me, and I will bless you." He hadn't even blessed him yet. Well, he followed him. And he finally got there. And when he got there, he knew it. And he did. Whoa! And he knew this was the place, and he built an altar before God, and then God blessed him. They entered into the first phase of his covenant with God in that place. Then circumstances got to him, and he left because of the famine that was in the land. He went to Egypt. He got in trouble. He lied, and he's trying to protect himself. He's trying to be his own protection, his own God. He's trying to provide for his family. He's got a covenant, but he's not covenant-minded yet. And I mean, it went from bad to worse, man. I mean, it looked terrible. Well, God was still working with him, because a man don't know. He's walking in all the light that he had. And God finally, you know, just kept pulling at him and pulling at him. "Come on, come on, come on." And God had to go over there and threaten that king. And the king had to come to him and say, "Get out of here." "Oh, okay. Don't you come around here anymore." Whew, boy, God got to the king quicker than he could get to Abram. Scared the way out of that king. He ran him off. Now where's he going to go? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to where it was God talked to me, and maybe he'll talk to me again. Well, God is still standing there by that altar that he built. And when he got back, he got step two. He needs us obedient. Reinhard Bonnke left Germany under the instructions of the Holy Ghost, and he went to England to go to Bible school, and he got over there thinking it was a German school, and it was not. He did not speak a word of English, and he had to go to that English school. Why? Jesus sent him there. That's why. Well, in his obedience, God was able to teach him how to speak English, and Jesus taught him his way. Well, here's a man that has won more people to Jesus than any man that ever lived, other than the actual writings of the Apostle Paul himself. Why? He's obedient. Go to the book of Mark. I must show you this. We'll close here and take it up later. But I don't care what you got planned. You got time to hear this. Mark chapter 1. He needs us obedient. You remember the leper? I will, be thou clean, verse 41. Soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Now, here's what you're going to see out of this. Even though you work directly for Jesus, the disobedient are working against him and his plan.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I want you to notice it right here. He charged him and sent him away and said, "See thou." You know what that means? You see to it. This is a charge. How would we say it today? You listening to me? Now you look at me. You listen to me. You see to it that you say nothing to any man. You go your way. You show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, he had a very specific command and charge. Now, let me ask you something. Did he send him?
Yes.
He did, didn't he? What is the meaning of the word apostle?
A sent one.
A sent one. Ta-da! But what he do? He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now back up to the 38th verse. He said, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." This guy blocked his entrance not only to those other towns, but Jesus didn't need somebody to get him a crowd. He needed a witness. He needed to be in those towns. He needed to bless those towns. He needed to talk to the mayors in those towns. He needed to speak to the rabbis in those towns. He needed to speak to the synagogues in those towns. He needed to speak to the priests about the laws of Moses and how to keep them to minister healing and health to other people. They didn't even know what those healing laws were. And this disobedient man ripped into his plans. I used to look at that and I said, "Lord, what was wrong with that? What did the man do wrong?" See, that's my old way of thinking. Your old way of thinking, and here I got to shut this down right now. Our old way of thinking is based on money. You base your decisions on money. You're going to be wrong 95% of the time, And the 5% of the time you were right, you don't know why. You base your plans on the Word of God, on the anointing of God, and on the Word of His blessing of God. You'll be right 95% of the time, and God can correct you on the 5% that you missed it. Now here's the way the Babylonian system thinks, and religion is a product of that system. So here's the way the religious man thinks. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. Well, I may be an apostle or a prophet, but I wouldn't tell it because they all get mad at me and they'll take their tithe out of my church and then I'll be in trouble. So we ain't going to mention that. That's what cost us the ministry of apostles and prophets and teachers, because all the teachers went to school. They weren't teachers at all. Now, my thinking is, well, I need more money. Now, see, God has told me to go on television. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. See, I come from the white church. That's the way the white guy does. Yes, amen. Creflo tell you how the black guy does, you know, but I can tell you how the white guy does. So, in my thinking, in order to obey God and go on television, I got to have more money. Man, this bunch is expensive. Whew. The year that the Lord told Gloria and me to go on radio, our entire income for that year was $350,000. The whole year. Go on television. I mean, radio. Well, I stumbled around with it for a while, and okay, yes, sir, I'll do it. Then he said, I go on every available voice. I said, what does that mean? He said, every gospel station in the North American continent. Well, back then, there was a lot of gospel radio stations and a lot of preachers preaching on the radio because you couldn't get on television. There was all kinds of stuff on there. It's one of the reasons I didn't much want to go in there. On there, you got blessing strings and pouches and you know, Holy Ghost cats and dogs. I mean, I just didn't want into that. It was really just a money fest. It was abuse of partnership and all that. I wasn't judging those people, but I had already promised God I wasn't going to do that. So I didn't want into that. He said, yeah, I need you there. I said, okay, I'll do it. Yes, sir. And he led us step by step by step by step. Well, now, he said that to us right there close to the end of the year, and our whole income that year was $353,000, I believe, but roughly $350,000. Now, we really hit this campaign hard then in January of the next year. This is back in the 70s. Our budget for the following year was $400,000 a month. Now, I can't be thinking the old way, because this just ain't going to happen, Bubba. There ain't that many chicken dinners. There are not that many rubbish sales. I mean, dear God. Colonel Sanders wasn't making that kind of money in them days. I mean, $400,000 a month. And I've already promised God that I will put no pressure on any people. So what happened? See, the old way of thinking was, I got to have more money to do what God's called me to do, so I got to have more people. In order to get more people, I'm going to have to get a miracle. If I get a miracle, I can get more people, and then they'll have more people. I get more money because they'll give more in the offering, but now I got to have more miracles to keep them. And I got to write them 2 or 3 times a month. Won't you help me, help me, help me, help me? And I'm going to have to spend half my radio broadcast trying to get you to help me so it'll stay on the air. And if you don't help me today, it may go off of the air. Well, I hope it does. Bless God, just turn the thing off. That was my reaction to that. So I already told the Lord, I said, I ain't going to do that. He said, good. I never asked you to do that. So now, see, Jesus didn't need anybody to help him get a crown. Why? He didn't need nobody to help him get money. The blessing maketh rich. I already realized I was a blessing of Abraham. I didn't know nowhere near about it what I know now, but I knew a lot more when it come time to do TV. Woo! I had to learn how to believe God for $2 million a month. It ain't no different than believing God for $400,000. It ain't no different than believing God for $25. It's the blessing of the Lord. And how to activate it. And be obedient. I'm laying on my bed. I'm laying across. I said, God, how am I going to do this? Stand up or I'll quit, will you? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get that kind of money? I'm in a meeting in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'm just flopped down across the bed between the services. And I said, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get this kind of money in here? Well, the word of the Lord came to me because I had already refused all of those old way of thinking. Huh? More people are not the answer because... if more people are the answer, then I can't go preach anywhere where there's only one person. Well, God sent me to the Middle East one time to minister to one woman. And she didn't have any money. I said, Lord, if you don't mind me bringing this up, that's a pretty expensive trip for one person. Don't ever say that. I got it stuffed in my mouth that day. He said, I'll have you know that's my daughter. And I've got the money. I never asked you to pay for it. He said, if Kelly was on the other side of the world, or if Terry was on the other side of the world, or if John was on the other side of the world, and you needed somebody to go help them, would you send them? I said, yeah, I'm going. That's the reason I don't write you and go on and on about where all I'm going and what all it costs to get there and what all it costs to get back, because I don't know. That's somebody else's job. He told me to go, not administrate the money. Well, I got to tell you this. I'm trying to quit. Lord, just, no, you're telling me, okay. You can eat on the run or something. You're eating now. Jesus said, I have food that you don't know anything about. You remember when they came to the apostles and they said, we got a problem in the church. They said, what's that? They said, well, the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews have gotten in a fight because the Greek-speaking Jews feel like they've become offended. Now, all these apostles knew Mark chapter 4. They have become offended because their widows are not getting treated right, and they want you to come down there and straighten this out. In other words, we have an administrative problem. And you're not preaching right now, so you need to come administrate this business of the church. What did they say? It is not right for us to leave the Word of God and prayer to take care of this business. Now, I realize I'm just throwing a wrench into the works of some of you pastors, but I'm not doing it. The Bible said this. Choose you out 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of God. Turn it over to them. But now he said, turn it over to them. Don't turn it over to them and then try to tell them how to do it. Because then they're going to come back to you and say, we ain't got enough money. And now you're going to have to get involved. You need men that can go on and believe God for the money to administrate the problem in the church. And to do it, you're going to have to get out of there. Give them the same opportunity to fail as they do to be successful. And if they do fail, don't jump on them about it and say, you should have done this way. No, you need to be praying about it. Seek the Lord about it. If he tells you something to go say it. If he doesn't, keep your big, bad, blab mouth shut. Well, that's my church. No, it isn't. This is not my ministry. I have a part of his ministry. Judas had his part of his ministry and had to be replaced. How did they replace him? They went back to the old way. They didn't know any better. They went back to the old way and flipped a coin for it. But in their day, it was drawing straws. Drew lots. Well, when they were living in the natural in Israel, that's the way they had to do things. But now they're living in the Holy Ghost, but they just learn it. Well, you don't hear from those two guys anymore. They were blessed men. They were there from the very beginning. And God obviously honored their good intentions. They were walking in all the light they had. And he may very well have called them to be apostles. But I don't know one way or the other where they were called to replace Judas. How am I going to know? I asked the Lord. He said, you will find out soon enough. That's the last time I brought it up. Well, is the Apostle Paul their replacement? Well, that ain't none of my business. I don't run the church. You better come get this, man. There ain't no quitting spot here. The bottom line is he needs us obedient. And that 14th chapter of John tells you why. He that keeps my commandment, I will love him. My Father will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Can you think of ways you'd like for him to manifest himself to you? Well, forget them all, because that's not what's important. What is important is how he plans to manifest himself to you. You make yourself ready and available.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out, because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Today is offering day. I want to share this scripture with you, one of my favorite offering scriptures. 2 Corinthians 8:11 says, so now, this is amplified, so now finish doing it, that your enthusiasm or your readiness in desiring to, whoops, let me start over. So now finish doing it, that your enthusiastic readiness in desiring it may be equal by your completion of it according to your ability and means. This is talking about giving. And so if we have a little and we give a little, we do what God says, it's just as much as somebody who has a lot and gives a lot because it's in proportion. So, you know, you can think back to the widow's mite. I mean, it's important that you start sowing. You say, well, I just don't have any money. Well, then sow something. Sow something into somebody's life. Give something that you have to somebody today. If you need money or if you need help and blessing, begin to give. This says, for if the eager readiness is there to give, then it is acceptable and welcome into proportion to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So if we have a little and we give a little, it's as much as someone who has a lot and gives a lot. So your gift is always important. When you sow, it's always important. Give, the Bible says, and it shall be given unto you again. Now I'm going to pray over your finances. And you, if you don't have your offering ready, you make up your mind what you're going to do. I'm going to pray over it right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift these offerings up to you. Lord, we believe that we receive help. Many people today need help in their finances. I'm asking you to give them your plan for your blessing. Cause a hundredfold return to come to them on their offering today. Lord, it's hundredfold return time. We believe we receive the blessing and the increase in Jesus' name. Father, give them the things that they need, the homes, the money. Help them to get out of debt. Help them, Lord. Show them what to do. We want to be out of debt in Jesus' name. I speak blessing on you and on your finances. Receive the blessing. Receive the hundredfold. Begin to work and listen to what God says to do. Hey, tomorrow's Ken's birthday. Happy birthday, Ken. You're a blessing to me and to lots of other people. Glory to God. So be blessed. And get on the, if you're needing help, everybody needs help in finances. I mean, we always want to keep growing. Get in the scripture. Find out what the Bible says about it. And then do it and act on it. Next week on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Ken and I will be sharing and teaching from this year's Great Lakes Believers Convention. So don't miss it. This is Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
Get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives more than ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.